Discovering Christ in Revelation, Chapter 61, No Changes in Eternity. A reading from the book of Revelation, Chapter 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. Read and pay attention to the words of the wise men when he says, In the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Ecclesiastes 11:3. Solomon's language is not hard to understand. His meaning is, whatever your condition is when you die, that will be your condition throughout eternity. Death changes nothing. There will be no changes in eternity. Whatever your spiritual condition is at the moment of death, that will be your spiritual condition throughout eternity. Whatever your state is before God when you die, that will be your state before God throughout eternity. The judgment bar of God is not to be a trial to determine the guilt or innocence of those who stand before Him. Judgment day will determine nothing, but it will show the guilt or innocence of all who stand before Him and execute the penalty of justice upon the guilty and the reward of justice upon the righteous. Judgment will reveal everything, but will change nothing. I repeat myself deliberately. There will be no changes in eternity. Purgatory is a lie. Limbo is a delusion. In the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 11, the angel said to John, He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. Here are four unalterable, inflexible, unbending statements of divine justice. They cannot change or be changed. We are told that justice is blind. Among men, that is questionable, but I assure you that the justice of God is blind to all those things that men consider mitigations of guilt. It does not take into consideration or offer leniency upon the grounds of age, race, sex, environment, education, ability, or knowledge. It sees only two things, sin and righteousness, guilt and innocence, filthiness and holiness. Justice gives consideration to nothing else. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. All who die in a state of guilt and condemnation with the curse of the law and the wrath of God upon them will spend eternity in a state of guilt and condemnation under the curse and unmitigated wrath of God. It is written, He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. If you are without Christ, you are unjust. You are in a state and condition of non-justification. You have broken God's law. The guilt of sin is upon you. Oh, if you could understand what I am saying to you, you would tremble with fear. The wrath of God is upon you. You are cursed. You are condemned. The very same wrath of God that heats the fires of hell is upon you right now. Your unjustified condition, your state of condemnation, is a matter of righteousness, justice, and truth. If God should seize you before you draw your next breath and cast you into hell, His judgment upon you would be exactly what you deserve. You have earned His wrath. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Here are three reasons why you ought to go to hell, three reasons why you ought to be damned forever. One, you were born in a state of guilt and condemnation. Two, you have personally broken every law of God, transgressed every commandment, and come short of every requirement of God from your earliest days. And three, You have repeatedly heard and rejected the gospel of the grace of God. You have repeatedly had Christ crucified set before you and have willfully despised him. My comments are particularly addressed to those of you who have been raised under the sound of the gospel, who still refuse to believe on and bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the message of substitution, but you despise the substitute. You know the commandment and promise of God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, but you will not obey the commandment. And you despise the promise. You know that you can never be justified by your works, yet you will not acknowledge the evil of your good works, confess your sin, and trust Christ alone. If you die in your present condition, unjust, you will be unjust forever. You are without hope, without life, without God, without Christ. Dare you die in such a state? If you do, there will be no mercy for you, but only wrath. No friend in heaven for you, but only enemies. You will remain unjustified forever. The only change that will take place is this. When you wake up in hell, you will value justification by Christ more than anything and want it more than anything, but there will be no possibility of your obtaining it. 2. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. If you die in a state of filth, a depraved, defiled, degenerate sinner, you will be filthy forever. It is written, He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. As John Gill says, all mankind are originally, naturally, and universally filthy, or defiled with sin. None of us likes to hear it, but it's true. And if I would be faithful to the souls of all my readers, I must tell you the truth. If you are without Christ, you are filthy, so filthy that even your righteousnesses are filthy rags in God's sight. No one likes to think of filth, come into contact with filth, see filth, smell filth, or touch filth. Have you ever smelled a filthy thing or had to work in filth? If you have, the remembrance of it will be enough to make your stomach begin to churn. Yet the Word of God declares that you and I are, by nature, filthy. Our hearts are filthy. Our best deeds, filthy. Our consciences are filthy and must be purged. If you die in your filth, you will wallow forever in your filth in hell. Death will not change you. The fires of hell will not purge away the filth of nature. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. There will be no regeneration of the heart, no repentance from sin, no renovation of the soul, and no reformation of life in hell. The only thing that will change is this. In hell, your lusts and filthy passions will be more acute than ever, but will remain unsatisfied, and the corruptions of your heart will torment you more, infinitely more, in hell than anyone has ever been tormented by conscience in this world. The only one who can purge you from your filth is the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood has purged away the filth of every believer from the book of justice. Christ's blood, if you believe, will purge away the guilt of your filth from your conscience. In fact, your faith in him will be to you the evidence that his blood purged away your sins when he satisfied the justice of God for his elect at Calvary. By the power, merit, and virtue of his blood, the Son of God will purge away the filth of sin from our bodies in the resurrection. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be clean. 3. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. All who die in a state of righteousness, justified and complete in Christ, will be righteous forever and will enjoy the just reward of perfect righteousness in eternal glory. It is written, He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. That which God has given shall never be changed, lost, or taken away. Death and judgment will not make you any more righteous than you are at the moment you die, nor will they make you one bit less righteous than you are at the moment you die. Death changes nothing. Judgment changes nothing. Eternity changes nothing. Are you interested in being righteous before God? If you are, let me show you six things from the Word of God. In Galatians 2:21, you cannot make yourself righteous no matter what you do. Number two, from Romans 5:19, the only way any sinner can be made righteous is by the righteous obedience of Christ being imputed to him. And just as Adam's sin was imputed to us, the sins of God's elect were imputed to Christ, and Christ's righteousness is imputed to every believer. Number three, from Romans 9, verses 31 to 33, the only way you can obtain the imputed righteousness of God in Christ is by faith. Faith does not perform righteousness or accomplish righteousness or merit righteousness. Faith receives righteousness. 4, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, and other scriptures as well, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are perfectly righteous in Him, immutably righteous, completely righteous, and eternally righteous. And number 5, from Colossians 1:12, if you are now righteous in God's sight, if you have received the righteousness of God by faith in Christ, God in strict justice will reward you for the perfect righteous obedience of Christ when you stand before Him in judgment. Looking on you in Christ and having imputed to you all that Christ did for sinners in His life and in His death, the Lord God will say to you in that day, "Well done." And number 6, from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, and other scriptures, if you have been made righteous by the imputation of Christ's righteousness to you, you will live soberly, righteously, and in a godly manner in this world for the glory of Him who has made you righteous. Grace never makes saved sinners licentious, but righteous. God's saints are never perfectly righteous in this world. All true believers know and acknowledge that fact, but they are sincerely righteous, universally, and in all aspects of life. 4. He that is holy, let him be holy still. If you die in a state of holiness, born again, that is, regenerated and sanctified, by the Spirit of God, you will be holy forever and will inherit the kingdom of holiness. Remember, that which God has done cannot be undone, made better, or made less. It is written, "He that is holy, let him be holy still." Well, perhaps you wonder, what is the difference between righteousness and holiness? The one is a matter of legal standing, the other is a matter of personal experience. All men without Christ are in a state of being unjust, a state of non-justification, condemnation and guilt before the law of God. That's man standing before God. But his nature is filthy. The condition of his heart, the thought of his mind, the state of his soul is filthy. All who are in Christ, redeemed by His blood, are righteous. Our legal standing before God is righteous, right in the eyes of the law, because Christ's righteousness has been imputed to us. We were made righteous by Christ's obedience. But holiness is the believer's new nature in Christ. Holiness is not what we do. Holiness is what we are by the new birth. Holiness is the righteousness of Christ imparted to us in regeneration. Holiness is that new nature given to every believer when he or she is born of God. However, though God has given us a new holy nature by the new birth, we still have the old nature of sin. This is the cause of that warfare that goes on in every believer's heart between the flesh and the spirit. Read what Paul says about this in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25. The believer is not two persons, but one person with two natures. These two natures, so long as we are in this world, must be at war with one another. The spirit rules, but never conquers the flesh in this world. Flesh will not submit to the spirit, agree with the spirit, or be at peace with the spirit for a moment. When we die, we shall not become any more holy than we are now. We shall simply cease to be bothered by this sinful fleshly nature. In eternity, we shall do what we now want to do, only and always that which is perfectly righteous, because we shall be what we now long with all our hearts to be, totally free from all sin. But death will make no changes. There will be no changes in eternity. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. In the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Only one thing in this world is of any real consequence, because only one thing in this world is of any eternal consequence, and that is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ is the one urgent, eternal necessity of your soul. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.